So let's just pray right now. Holy Father, Lord, we pray against confusion, Lord. We pray against distractions, Lord. And Lord, we pray right now, you help us to lift up this morning to you, Lord. Help us to put aside the busyness of this morning and yesterday and this past week and the busyness of the week ahead. And I invite you right now, whatever's causing you the most anxiety, just lift that up to him. Lord, we lift these things up to you, that you would care for them so that we don't have to worry about them. And help us now, Lord, to have your Spirit and lead us by your Spirit to focus on you and what you want to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I also want to just take a moment to pray for a very important gathering that's happening this week, starting tomorrow and running through Saturday. It's going to be happening over in the mainland. Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has called together all of the 38 primates of the Anglican Communion. And this will be their first get-together, as it were, for a number of years. And there's some very serious business that our own Archbishop Richard Clark from Armagh, as well as all of the other primates, need to be talking about. And we've been invited to pray this prayer for their meeting. So let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all will someday give an account, instill, we pray, within the hearts of all primates of the Anglican Communion, a holy fear that they may love you and your word more than the approval of men. This we ask through our only mediator and head of the church, Jesus Christ, who forevermore lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And by the way, for those of you not too familiar with the Anglican Communion and its structures, primate simply refers to the primatial or the number one archbishop of a province. And there's 37 or 38, depending how you count them, provinces that the world is divided up into in the Anglican Communion around the world, with 85 million members around the world. Well, just to focus us on our own parish right now, you know, last week, we focused a bit on reviewing some of the highlights from 2015, the Year of Mission, which, by the way, there's booklets on the table in the back as you exit today that our diocesan communications coordinator, Annette McGrath, put together for every parish. It's a little photo album trying to capture hopefully at least one photo, if not maybe a couple photos from each parish across the whole diocese, to kind of give a flavor of this past year of mission. And of course, the year before that was our year of prayer. But, you know, our year of mission, another way to frame mission or outreach is, I would use the phrase radical inclusion, because that's what evangelism, that's what our hospitality that we showed folks last year is all about, is God's radical inclusion. But, you know, all of that prayer that we shared in 2014, all of the radical inclusion that we extended to folks in 2015, it's all for a purpose. You know, prayer is not something we do just for the sake of prayer itself. Inviting people in and showing them hospitality and sharing good news with them, it's not just for the sake of doing those things, but it's for the purpose so that we can be God's kingdom people, so that God's will be done on earth as in heaven. And you know, throughout the Bible, God welcomes all who entrust their lives to him. And once people allow God to be God in their lives, well, then begins the change of their lives forever. Because to encounter the living God is to encounter the awesome one who redeems us, but he also redeems everything in our lives and transforms all things in our lives for good. And this has been true for every people in every age, in every culture. It's not just a Western thing or a white thing or a black thing. It's for every people in every culture, in every age. Once we embrace God's good news, we are changed forever. In 2 Timothy, a letter that Paul wrote to a fellow named Timothy, he writes these words that some people will have the form of godliness, but deny the power that could make them godly. So we can have the religiosity around us, you know, we can do all the religious things, but if we deny God's power to transform our lives, well, then we're just a shell. But the way God intends it is that radical inclusion leads to profound transformation. Do you know, for example, that when you get to heaven, you're going to be rubbing shoulders with about 120,000 Ninevites? You know those folks that God sent Jonah to witness to? And what happened when Jonah eventually got to Nineveh and he shared God's word with them? They repented. They fasted. They began praying to God. And the king of the Ninevites told his people these things. Everyone must turn around, turn back from an evil life and the violent ways that stain their hands. You see, the Ninevites were the most warmongering people of the day, 700 years before Jesus was born. And so for them to turn around like that, well, that is profound transformation. And how about that bonfire held in Ephesus? Do you remember that passage in Acts chapter 19? Let me give you a portion of the story from Luke's account in the book of Acts. Many in Ephesus who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of those books was 50,000 silver coins. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. 50,000 silver coins. That's a several million pounds worth of money today. That's profound transformation. Now, how about the Greek city of Philippi? You know, Paul's most positive letter, of all his letters to the different churches in the ancient world, his most positive letter was to the folks in a little Greek city named Philippi. And yet Philippi had been the place where he was probably persecuted the most. He was beaten almost to death, and then he was imprisoned. So imagine that out of that city, there becomes a nucleus for a vital church of God. Paul later writes to those folks, and he says, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks. I always pray with joy for all of you." That's profound transformation. And he encourages them to even more transformation when he says, "Keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, filled with the fruit of righteousness." Now, transformation is not just for cities of people and whole groups of people. Of course, it also happens on our individual, personal level. And how about St. Zach, for example? You know St. Zach, Zacchaeus. You remember what happened to him when he encountered Jesus? Immediately, he tells Jesus, "Lord, today I give half of my possessions to the poor." Half, imagine giving 50% of everything you own right now to the poor. That's what St. Zach did when he encountered who Jesus was. And then he goes further and he says, "If I've cheated anyone," you know, for just entertain the thought, for example, that the HMRC has a corrupt bureaucrat in it. Okay, now I know that's probably not the case, but just pretend for a minute the HMRC has a corrupt bureaucrat in it, okay? Well, that's who Zach was. He was a corrupt tax collector in his day. And he's saying, not only am I going to give 50% away, but anybody I've cheated, I'm going to pay them back, not what I cheated them out of, but I'm going to give them back 400% of what I took from them. 400%. That is profound transformation when any corrupt bureaucrat changes like that. And, you know, the most beautiful examples are not just when individuals are transformed, but when their transformation leads to the transformation of those around them. Think of the Samaritan woman at the well. Once she encountered the Messiah and King of the world, and once she started sharing what Jesus meant to her with her village, they came back and said, "Now we know that he indeed is the Savior of the world." In other words, if he can transform your life, well, then he can transform any of us. The profound transformation is still taking place. It's not just stories we read about in the Bible. Here's just a couple stories that I know about. A couple in Australia went through 32 years of marriage, much of it, they say, filled with conflict. But once they encountered who Jesus was for their lives and began the road to transformation for their marriage, they said that we now have a peace we never believed was possible. A woman in Canada named Muriel said that over the course of 5 years, as she sought inner healing for her life, she says, "I've actually been healed enough to be able to hear and see and experience Jesus Christ at a whole new level. Just today, I walked out of a cage of serious self-imposed confinement that I've been living in for 22 years. All doubt about the goodness of God has been wiped away. And today I'm living proof that the Lord Jesus can handle a wounded soul like mine and make it beautiful." Back in Virginia, there's a woman named Deborah who has given testimony to how, through prayer ministry and allowing God to transform her life, she has been able to regain the years that the locusts have eaten away out of her own life, out of her marriage, and out of the mothering of her children, and come to know the fullness and joy of being a Christian. Also, back in Virginia, there's a number of churches who engage in the difficult work of walking alongside of men who struggle with sexual temptation and sin. And there's one ministry in particular called SALT, Seeking After Liberating Truth. And in that program, dozens of lives have been transformed as men learn what it means to allow God to be the Lord of their lives and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to infuse their lives. Well, as you may tell from what I've been mentioning here, I want us to focus in, at least during the interregnum, during this vacancy period of 2016, on, just like we focused on prayer and mission, to focus in these days on profound transformation. Setting a focus to allow ourselves to clear away the rest of the clutter, the things that might distract us, and just to see where would God lead us to grow deeper in our walk with Him. Because the deeper we can grow with Him, the deeper we can allow Him to transform our lives, to take us from that radical inclusion to profound transformation, the stronger we're going to be. So here's just a few of the things that we're going to plan to do in the next few weeks and months here. During Sunday mornings, our next series after Jam Sunday, next Sunday, we're going to start a 4-week series on margin. You know, when you write a letter, you need to leave some white space around the borders of the page, don't you? And too often in our type of culture, we're tempted to run over and not leave any white space anywhere. We just feel like we have to fill all that space up. And so we're going to take a step back before we go any further into 2016 and look at 4 different ways that we can create some margin in our lives. We're going to look at our emotional life and how do we create some emotional margins so we have some emotional reserves for the journey ahead. And how do we create some time reserves so we have the time to do the things that God wants us to do? And when interruptions come into our life, can we welcome them and have the time to do what God wants us to do? And how do we create some financial margins in our life to be able to have the resources that God wants us to have for what he wants us to invest in? And how do we have some physical margin in our lives to have the energy and the wherewithal physically to do what he wants us to do? And as we get into Lent, you know, Ash Wednesday is going to be upon us in about a month or so. And so we're going to be heading into Lent soon. And during Lent, we're going to take 3 weeks to look at our exit strategy. You know, our day-to-day lives, I think one of the enemy's strategy in our life is to keep us so busy that we don't think about the end game. We don't think about the exit strategy. And so just like a good army has an exit strategy before they go into battle, before they start their mission, we all need an exit strategy too for the battle of life. And so we're going to look at that in the weeks to come. And then during Holy Week, during Passion Week, we're going to meet as normal, as is the pattern here, to have our noonday communion services down in Marlin, and then our alternating evening services during the week between here and Marlin. And we're going to be focusing that week on what does it mean to be all in. You know, Jesus was all in for the Father's mission. And what does it mean for us as individuals and as a church to be all in with Jesus' mission? In the evenings coming up soon, David Luckman's going to share with us a series on Colossians. And then later on, Alan Wilson is going to be sharing with us some insights from the life of Moses. And what can we learn from Moses to apply to our own lives? During our fifth Sunday healing ministry times in the evenings, we're going to have a couple guest speakers coming up. One, Walter McCartney, who ministers up at the Dock Cafe up in Belfast, is going to be sharing with us at the end of this month. And then later on, the Reverend Jim Hagen, a retired Presbyterian minister who lives down in Waringstown, is going to share with us later in the year. And then besides Sundays, some of the things we're going to be doing are some of the things like Nancy and I have started offering here, what we call life model courses. We offered one this past autumn called Joy Starts Here, and we're going to repeat that later on this year. But one that we're going to hope to start, we were going to start it tomorrow, but the materials actually have not all arrived from the book dealer. But we're going to start a series called Forming. And we still have a couple slots left if anybody's interested. And what Forming is going to do for us, it's going to help us to start to see, how can I connect with God? How can I get rid of the clutter and focus in on talking to God and begin to hear his voice as he desires to guide me and lead me? And then later in the life, we're going to look at another life model series called Restarting. How do we restart when we feel like we're stuck, when we feel like there's some habits that we can't break? How do we just restart, get a fresh, clean slate, and have a new go at it? You know, John Burke, the author of the book we worked through during the Year of Mission, talking about radical inclusion, he also talked about essential spiritual outcomes. And some of those essential spiritual outcomes are things that we're all familiar with already. Like, are we truly loving God? Are we truly loving our neighbor? Are we building the character in our lives that God wants to build in us? And are we being the body of Christ? I think those are going to be some of the hallmarks, some of the outcomes that we're going to be aiming towards during this time of profound transformation, however long it lasts. Let me just leave you with some words from Paul to God's church. In Galatians, Paul wrote, "My dear children, I feel as though I'm going through labor pains for you, And they will continue until Christ is fully formed in your lives. And to the Romans, he said, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, at the end of the day, what we're looking to accomplish is nothing less and nothing more than a deeper walk with God, week by week, day by day, and even hour by hour. Not by some sheer act of discipline and will and hard work, but out of a place of desire, out of a place of delighting in God's presence, filling us hour by hour, allowing the Holy Spirit to empower us in our walk with God. So the last word from Paul to the Corinthians, he said, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And by the Lord, who is the Spirit, we are being transformed from one degree of glory to the next degree of glory. Amen.